You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
To another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast. I'm your host, Al John Go, lifelong wrestling fan. And here we have Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, discussing the NXT TakeOver Toronto event that's going to be happening right before Survivor Series. Also, he's going to be talking about Shawn Michaels and the role he might play in NXT and 205 live on the WWE Network and possibly NXT going live. Don't forget to tuck your head. Take care.
Without any further ado, I'm going to turn things over to WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events, and Creative, Paul Levesque.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Again, as always, I appreciate the interest and the continued support of these events and all the work that you guys do uncovering them and following what we do. So thank you for being here today. I'm really looking forward to this NXT TakeOver. It's been a kind of a big build, I think, for me with this takeover, given the shift in the talent roster with the draft and everything that we have had in the last year. There was a lot of changes that were made, and it's interesting for me, even when you don't necessarily look at, you know, all of the matches, when you look at the card in general or the list of people that are in TakeOver, to see people beginning to boil up. You know, we kind of had to start our women's division almost over, with the exception of Asuka being, you know, the most dominant woman that we have, but also just kind of being what was still there in our roster from the active talent in NXT. So it's kind of been a rebuilding process, but I'm really excited about this event. We'll have a capacity crowd of the Air Canada Center in Toronto, which in itself to me is amazing that, you know, we can go in there with 3 days, NXT TakeOver, the Survivor Series pay-per-view, and Monday Night Raw, and do just amazing business there. So really looking forward to the Shinsuke Nakamura defending the NXT championship against Samoa Joe in what has become, in my opinion, just kind of a classic rivalry between just two stars. And I say that in the biggest way I can. Asuka versus the returning Mickie James. Given the status, and I've seen a lot of rumors out there of other people that were attempted to be grabbed for this spot, I can assure you that that is not the case. As we got closer to TakeOver, I wanted more time for some of our other women to percolate and to grow as performers and build a reputation and their aura, and that's what we're doing. I looked at Mickie James as somebody with a very high skill level that I knew could handle it and I knew was in the shape to be able to do this. And she was somebody that I wanted to do this, and I felt like she and Asuka would tear it up. So that was where we went. It wasn't, I want to reinforce it, that Mickey was not the consolation prize for us in any way. She is the person that we went at. To me, and what will probably be one of the matches that absolutely could steal the show, and if not already, just in thinking about it, be a match of the year candidate, is the Revival versus Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano DIY for the NXT Tag Team Championships. That match will be 2 out of 3 falls, which has kind of become, I think, a staple a little bit for NXT. And then what will certainly be glorious, Bobby Roode. I wish I had the music right now to play. It would just be one of those good bombs, but the DIY do. But Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger, both guys being from Toronto, I have a feeling that place will come unglued for that one. And then the finale of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic with TM61, you know, just a very young and exciting team on their way up in NXT versus just the destructive Authors of Pain. Just, I have high hopes for that match as well. And when you look at guys like the Authors of Pain only being within the Performance Center, I think for less than 2 years, with no experience walking in the door, it's amazing how far they've come. Pre-show for the TakeOver will air on the WWE Network beginning at 7:30. I'd also like to just mention really quickly that I'm open to questions about the new Cruiserweight show that we are really, really excited about, 205 Live, that will be airing on the WWE Network. I'm excited about this. As we've talked about before with the Cruiserweight tournament, the Cruiserweight Classic, the opportunity to take those Cruiserweights and give them a platform that they haven't had for a long time. There are just so many great talent out there in that division. They need a platform like this, to me, and it's something that I've been very passionate and working hard on. But for them to have the exposure of a Monday Night Raw position is great, but to have their own platform, to have their own show, I think is going to be phenomenal, and I can't wait for this show to get started. I think it's going to be very exciting, and I look forward to making it hopefully as different and as exciting for our fan base as they found the Cruiserweight Classic. And then just on November 14th, I want to mention also that we have a WWE PC All Access for anybody that just kind of wants to go do the fantasy camp, so to speak, or wants to see the Performance Center in its functioning form. That is the way to do it. Who knows, maybe while you're there, we'll even do a mannequin challenge or something. We seem to be pretty good at those. Anyway, I will open it up to questions.
Guys, since we ran a little late, we'll keep it to one question per hour just to try to get to everybody.
Let's take a bet right now. Vegas odds. Mike Johnson, number one caller.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Brian Fritz of Sporting News. Please go ahead.
How about that?
Brian comes in, you know, as the underdog, comes in and steals the thunder.
I owe Paul $5. Thanks.
Yeah, congratulations.
I've been on hold since the last one. Did I miss anything?
That's phenomenal. No, everything's been great. Yeah, hey, we have a new president, by the way.
Oh, how about that? Well, you mentioned, you know, Live 205. I wanted to ask, you know, outside of the obvious that it features cruiserweights, how tough is it to make a new show stand out, considering there's so much content out there, especially on a week-to-week basis from WWE? I mean, there's just so much stuff that's out there. So how can you make that show different, and what can be done to try to make it stand out to get the biggest audience it can get?
Well, I think, first of all, I think the talent will make it distinctive, and the styles and hopefully what they bring to it. The cruiserweight talent that we have and will be getting are just second to none, and they're phenomenal talent. And that's a place where you're going to get to see them showcase the best, you know. So I'm excited for that. But, look, that's the goal. I think we were very successful, in my opinion, in making the Cruiserweight Classic feel very different and have a different energy level. Then the thing at that point becomes trying to make that into an episodic show, but have that same feel and that same I don't know, just grit to it that I felt like Cruiserweight Classic had. But that's the challenge, right? The great thing about WWE Network to me is I you know, because part of me does go like, wow, geez, you know, you look at the product, and just as an example, if that show was on next week, you'd have TakeOver on Saturday, Survivor Series on Sunday, 3 hours of Raw on Monday, 2 hours of live SmackDown on Tuesday, an hour of live, it's not going yet, but an hour of 205 Live following it, and then NXT on Wednesday. It's a lot, you know. I mean, it's hard for me as an executive of WWE to keep pace on watching all the product we do. I need more hours in the day just to be able to watch all the product we do, so I'm up to speed on everything, because when we're producing it, we can't watch all of it. But the great thing about the network is you watch it when you want. You know, we have the linear feed. It goes into the linear feed, but look, if you're busy on the Tuesday or you just watch SmackDown and bed seems like the best option or something, you can watch it tomorrow, or you can watch it on Thursday, or you can watch it on Friday. You watch it when you want, or you can wait, and after a few weeks, you can binge watch a bunch of episodes. You know, there's that freedom to do what you want, which I think is the beauty of the network to me. That's where the world's going. People, very few people now have shows that you watch that you tune in at a particular time for. You know, people binge watch they put the series up and you just go watch it, you know, and that's kind of where things are headed, I think. So I feel like great content, if we can just put great content out there with that show, people will find it and they'll enjoy it. And we'll try to make it as different as we possibly can.
Thanks, Paul, and glad I won Adam that bet.
Thanks. It's good to be number one, right?
Yeah. Sometimes. You got to do it.
And we'll take our next question from Mike Johnson of PW Insider.
Mike.
Oh, what's the point now?
Yeah, come on.
I know.
Yeah, you got to get on these things earlier, man.
Apparently, I need to just not hang up when this call is over.
Oh, stay on the line.
I wanted to talk to you.
We were going to do these like those old Gene Okerlund 900 line things where I kind of give you some information, but then for $1.99, you can continue to get more information later. That would have cost a lot. You'd have to stay on the line the entire, you know, 2 or 3 months or whatever, but this isn't too bad.
It'd be a hell of a business write off, though, wouldn't it?
Right.
Actually, my one question is on NXT touring. We saw the New Zealand shows were canceled, and there was a rerouting of the Australia tour. How do you gauge the success of NXT as a touring brand as it stands now? There's been a lot of changeover in the brand, and obviously with NXT, there's always going to be that changeover. But you had Finn Balor and Bayley go up to the main roster. They were really, in a lot of ways, the heart and soul of NXT. You've had a lot of new acts be developed, a lot of talents formerly from TNA come in to the NXT mix. So I'm curious how all of that affected the overall success of the tours and the live events over the last half of the year or so.
I don't know that it's necessarily affected things from certainly any of the shows that we do. I don't think people think those shows are any less than, or if they've seen us before, any less than what they were the last time we did one. You know, I've said this before, I feel like it almost is part of the secret sauce of NXT. While going into a new market like Australia, yeah, they want to see what they've been seeing from NXT, and they'd be thrilled to see Balor or Bayley or whoever. But I don't think they're any more disappointed to see DIY or The Revival or Asuka or Joe or Nakamura or, you know, any of those talent. It's on us, and it's imperative on us to keep building new stars. That's the whole point of the thing, and I think it's what keeps the brand fresh. Are we going to make changes? Yeah. Look, in this business, to me, like any other, if you don't put your finger on the pulse of what's going on and adjust accordingly, if you just think, like, I got this now, and we're just going to go put tickets on sale, and we'll do business, and that's it, you're doomed. Right, you constantly got to be growing, evolving, changing. I'm constantly watching what's out there happening and what the appetite for this is. And, you know, and I also want to make sure that I have enough talent in reserve to be able to still do Florida shows and to expand things. So I think we've done a good job of that. I think for the right reasons, we shifted a few things in Australia that makes the tour in some ways better for everybody involved. But you know, you have to keep your finger on that pulse, otherwise it just won't work long term.
What led to the New Zealand cancellation or rescheduling, as it was termed? Was it just a routing issue? Was it tickets weren't selling? Like, what guidance can you provide there?
There were a few factors, but you know, with us working, we have a partner that we're working with, Paul Dainty's group in Australia, and you know, there was a lot of factors, and if we had just all got together with our live events team and their team, and decided that was the best course of action.
All right. Well, I thank you for the time, and I am very much looking forward to 205. So best of luck with that, and hopefully you can capture some of the magic that the CWC really caught.
That's the idea.
And we'll take our next question from Jim Barcelone with the Miami Herald. Please go ahead.
Hello, Jim.
Paul, Stone Cold had what, and Daniel Bryan had yes. What have you thought about the 10 movement, so to speak, and what will it take to get it to another level? Is it truly just the fans embracing it more and more? Or is there more to it to try to grow it?
You know, I think with anything, building a character and making them into something more is not about a singular chant, right? It's not about, like, Austin wasn't built on what? Austin wasn't built on 316. Austin was built on a lot of things. Same with Daniel Bryan, right? Character and the underdog factor and him as a person, somebody that you just gravitate towards. Now there are all kinds of components, and people love to be, especially in NXT and what we do, our fans love to be not only a part, but they love the fact that we are NXT, right? They're just as big a part of it as anybody, I think. And that's really cool. So the 10 factor has latched on, but the storytelling has to be right. And I think when the time is right for the 10 movement to go the way that I think a lot of people think that it will go, will you know, it'll head that way. It's just about timing and about the right storytelling and everything that needs to happen with it, and the performers, and not only the writing but also the performer being able to capitalize on that event the best way possible.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Jan Murphy with Kingston Whig Standard. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul, up here in Canada. Thanks for taking the question today.
Sure, thank you.
Just a little bit further to what Mike said, there were some shows planned for in and around Toronto in September, which were, I don't know, we'll call it postponed or canceled in favor of the Toronto Takeover Toronto. Can you talk a little bit about what went into that decision and what this jump to Toronto with NXT means for both NXT and for Canada?
Well, look, I hated canceling those events, but there's a lot of other factors involved in any business decision that's made in WWE, other than just what happens with NXT. The decision was made that there was an opportunity to go into the Air Canada Centre and a bigger play in Toronto, that we could capitalize on that with Survivor Series and sort of turning Toronto into a destination event weekend, which we have done. So I think that was the bigger opportunity. I don't want to take away from the places we were going to go to. We'll go back there when we can. But, you know, it's funny sometimes that people go like, well, you didn't go to that place. Well, I bet you probably most of those people have driven up to Toronto or have moved over for the show. It's an opportunity. I felt like it was an upgrade and an opportunity for them to get a bigger show. But for those that weren't able to take that advantage of that, we'll be back and we'll put on a show that they will appreciate as well. So if that one wasn't about, you know, it wasn't cancellations. It was more just a reshifting of where we were.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, there was a recent survey, one of many, about WWE Network and the tiers in this case, and it seemed to indicate that NXT television could be live more often. And I know it was just a survey, but is that something we may see more of rather than the current taping format?
Look, I think, as I was talking about before, about keeping your finger on the pulse, when you have a subscription service, it's best to constantly be figuring out how and what people want. And I think we constantly are doing fan surveys. We're constantly asking for their opinion. What would they like to see and how would they like to see it? What things are they interested in? Are we giving them what they want? Are we giving it to them in a way they want? How do they want to consume that product? How do they want to pay for that product? You know, like, there's so many different ways to look at it. And those surveys are great for us to help guide us in how we do our business. And that's no different. You know, Netflix, they all do it. And we're no different. Are we open to NXT being live more often? Absolutely. Are we open to any of those models? Yeah. I think it just all depends on what our fan base wants and what the people that have the network and the people that potentially will have the network are looking for. And that's what we're going to try to deliver to them.
Maybe I'll be a little more direct. Any current plan as far as NXT going live, as far as the television show is concerned?
Might you hear something?
Can't blame a guy for trying.
Yeah, it makes me tremendously more busy. No, as of this time, no. But that doesn't mean it, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, we don't tend to let a lot of grass grow between a decision to do things and then actually doing them sometimes.
Sure.
So, you know, I can tell you now, there's no plan on the table to go do it right now. But I know that question is out there. So if the feedback comes back in a big way that that's what people want, then we would begin to look at how we could potentially make that happen if it's doable.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck with the show.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Nick Hausman with Wrestling Zone. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you about the same thing I asked you about the last time on the conference call, which is Shawn Michaels. It sounds like he's relocated down to Florida, is working at the Performance Center. I didn't know if you could fill us in on maybe what his exact role is down at the Performance Center and what influence and input he has on NXT right now.
So just to be clear, and it's funny, I meant to say this in my opening comments, and I didn't. I've seen some of that as well, and contrary to a lot of things you have read on the internet, Shawn Michaels is not the head coach of the PC. Matt Bloom is, and will continue to be. That is a large job. Matt is, you know, kind of owning, operating, and running a massive operation down there, and doing a phenomenal job at it. And I want to say that up front. So that is completely. I'm not sure where that came from. I've heard rumor Hall and Nash, not that they've ever said inaccurate things before, but
I heard it on Nash. He said it on the Kevin Gill show. That's right.
I love Kevin. They have inaccurate information sometimes, or they say things in a way that is what it is. But Matt is the head coach. Shawn, as far as Shawn moving, I don't like getting into anybody when you're as famous and popular as Shawn is, I don't like to tell people, yeah, he moved to Florida, did anything. If you want to ask Shawn if he moved, go ahead and ask Shawn. Right now, Shawn's kind of in the middle of some of his other projects, making a film and doing some hunting stuff. Is there a plan for him to be involved in the Performance Center and be a part of what we do? Yes. Is that fluid? Yes. What would I see Shawn's role? You know, look, there's a million things Shawn could do. The biggest thing that Shawn can do is, you know, when you're creating performers, sometimes you have guys that have a following. Sometimes you have guys coming from nothing. There's a big difference, though, from being a good performer in the ring and then learning all the camera tricks and everything else that goes into being a television star. And then there's another whole level of being over and being a top guy. It's different, and very few guys either have that information, understand that information, and then can transfer it to other people. Shawn is one of those guys. To me, that is, if I had to pick something that I think Shawn would be excellent at, and again, this is going to be a fluid process. Shawn's going to come in there. Yes, Shawn's going to be doing stuff with us in the Performance Center. The level at which he does it, how often he's doing it, how much he's doing it, is to be determined. You know, he might get there after a while and do it and decide it's not the right thing for him, or he might decide and love it and want to do more. But it's fluid. But if I had to pick the thing that I felt like Sean can really contribute the most, it's kind of that polish to when you've got a performer that's there and just putting that extra level of something in them that makes them become the guy or the woman or the whatever that is, to becoming that star. And there's a big difference, you know, as I'm sure you guys know.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, Paul, thank you very much for answering the question. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. We've got time for one more question.
Okay. We'll take our next question from Scott Fishman with Channel Guide. Please go ahead.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, it's a good one, right? You're finishing it. You're wrapping it up. Make it good.
Yeah. Well, basically, it's the end of the year, and I mentioned that NXT is kind of in a rebuilding process. When you look back and you reflect on this year, what would you say you're kind of most proud of as regards to NXT and what you've been able to do with it?
Wow. You know, it's funny. I think probably as a brand, to say we created and elevated, I think it's 16 performers all at once, from the Performance Center, from NXT, from the NXT roster to the main roster, and yet continued to put out a product that people enjoyed, continued to put out the same, I believe, the same level of content that we did. And, you know, look, you can argue about creative issues or what, but, like, we built new stars, we built new performers, we've been able to continue to do what we do. You know, I try to flip that the other way and say, if you took the main roster and you took 16 stars out of that main roster and you just got rid of them, like, what would happen, right? And to me, that's where I go, like, look, as a brand and as and when I say that, it's everybody coming together in NXT. The opportunity there for talent to grow, TM61, the Authors of Pain, so many talent, you know, when you look at the women's division, Ember Moon and Nikki Cross and Liv Morgan and Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, and just all these talent that are beginning to elevate and to rise, Ty Dillinger getting into a different position, building new talent and new stars. You know, that's a massive team effort. That's not it's not easy to do. It's a team effort from the creative side and the production side, but also from a talent side to support each other and to help them grow. And that's what we're hopefully fostering there at the Performance Center, is all these talent coming in and working as a team. You know, Sanity coming in and creating something special, and Eric kind of being in the helm of that and really lending his time and experience level to guys like Sawyer Fulton and Alexander Wolf and Nikki, and taking them to the next level. It's this massive team effort, and it's really cool to see that happen. But when you can lose 16 talent and continue down the path you're on and still put on what I feel are the shows that we're putting on and the performances that we're doing, I think that's something that roster and the team that does it should be very proud of, and also the fan base. Like, look, I say it all the time that it's the We Are NXT thing, because I do feel like they're a part of what we do, and you know, their acceptance of new, their acceptance of, okay, look, I get it. This person is being elevated, maybe doesn't have the experience level yet. I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack, and I'm going to give them some time to grow and become something more. That's really cool. And I think it's all of it working together to cultivate these new stars, and I'm really proud of that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That concludes the question and answer session. Mr. Levesque, at this time, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. You know, again, thank you guys. Sorry for being a little bit late today, but I'm really excited about NXT TakeOver in Canada. Like I said, the when you have amazing talent on that card like we have, it's something that it's easy to turn it into something very special, and I think that's what we're going to do here again. I challenge our roster to put on something on Saturday night that hopefully everybody that's going to get in the ring on Sunday looks at and goes, oh, man, I got to up my game. That's the idea. While Raw and SmackDown are competitive to each other, I want NXT to be that driving force that pushes everyone to the next level. So thank you all for being a part of this and being on the call. I will throw it out again one more time, as I always do, to anybody that wants to come to the Performance Center, that wants to come to a Full Sail taping, that wants to see what we do sort of from the inside out and kind of get the lay of the land, so to speak, on the Performance Center and everything else. Please feel free to give us a call, and we would love to have you come down there and be a part of seeing what it is and spreading the word, so to speak. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.